The Mishnah on Tesazayin Amr Aleph tells us that Mishalshel Defanos Momawa Lamata Im Gavor Min Oret Shloshet Fachim Psula Momata Lamala Im Gavor Aseret Fachim Sheva. So Mishalshel literally means that you lower walls. Effectively, what you are doing is you are weaving down. Right, so if I'm weaving, I have my schach up on top, and I'm weaving down, 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 down. So if the mechitza ends up being more than three tefachim over the ground, so then it is non-kosher. There's a halacha that to be a kosher mechitza, it cannot be mechitza shagadayim bokimba. It can't be a mechitza that animals can run through it. A mechitza has to be some sort of barrier. If the gedi, if the animal can run through it, so it's not going to be a kosher mechitza. If the mechitza is momata lamala, if I make the mechitza from the bottom going up, so if it's gavoa asara tfachim shera, so the mechitza has to be 10 tfachim tall. So we've learned two halachos of mechitza. One is that the mechitza has to be within three tefachim of the ground. Two, the mechitza has to be 10 tefachim tall. If you have one without the other, right, if the mechitza is 10 tefachim tall, but it's not within three tefachim of the ground, it's not kosher. That's the Tanna Kamma's opinion. And that's based on the principle of mechitza tluya, which is not matir. A hanging mechitza, mechitza that the Gedoyim, the animals can run through, so that mechitza is not a good mechitza. However, the Tanna Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi Yossi omer kishem shemomata lamaila asara tfachim, kach momala lamata asara tfachim. Rabbi Yossi says that just like a mechitza from bottom up, 10 tfachim is the requisite shiur, so a mechitza top down, 10 tfachim is also the requisite shiur. That's the halacha, according to Rabbi Yossi. That's not the halacha. We don't pass like Rabbi Yossi, but effectively Rabbi Yossi holds that mechitza tluya is matir. We learned at the beginning of the Masechta that there are halachos l'Moshe Misinai about mechitza, and those halachos l'Moshe Misinai about mechitza include gud and dofen akuma. Good is a principle in halacha that means good asik mechitza, right? So if I have a mechitza of 10 tefachim tall, like this, so the halacha of good says, I use my halachic imagination to draw it all the way up to make it a mechitza that's really tall. It's as if it's touching the schach, or it goes, once it's 10 tefachim tall, it goes all the way up. That's good asik. There's another halacha called good achis, which should also make sense, right? Now, if I have a mechitza up on top, and then if I have 10 tefachim up on top, I could drop it, right? Logically speaking, whatever goes up can come down, goes down can come up. If good achis, if good asik helps, if it helps to use halachic imagination to raise a mechitza, it should also help to use halachic imagination to lower a mechitza. If that's the case, it's hard to understand why it is that we paskin that mechitza tluya, that a hanging mechitza is no good. It's really hard to understand, because if I have a halachic principle of good, that I use my halachic imagination to take walls, they go up and down, whatever, so if it goes up, it could go down. Why is it that the 10 mechitza wall on the ground is good, but a 10 mechitza wall, if it's high up, how come we don't drop it? So in fact, the Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in his notes points out that the Meiri comments that min haTorah a mechitza tluya is a good mechitza. On the level of the Oraisa, it's great. The fact that it's a hanging mechitza, so what? Min haTorah, it works, it's great. Midrabanan, mechitza tzluya does not help. Rabbinically, it doesn't help. But min haTorah, it does work. And the reason why it works min haTorah is the principle of good aches, good asik, right? All these principles apply, and that's why it's going to be fine, even if it's a hanging mechitza on the level of the oraisa. Midrabanan, it does not work, because, the Meiri explains, it's not a normal way to build a mechitza. A normal way to build a mechitza is, right, when I build a wall, I start at the bottom, I build up. Anyone who's ever tried to build a wall, like imagine trying to lay bricks and you start from the top, right? It's like something out of the cartoons, right? It's just not going to work, right? So because the normal way to build a mechitza is bottom up, that's why good asik helps, but good achis does not help midrabanan, because that's not the normal way to build a mechitza. So far, so good. Now, keep this principle of deraisa versus derabanan in your mind, because it is going to be relevant as we continue going on in the Gemara. Zok the Gemara. I apologize if tonight I'm going faster than usual, but partially I feel you had 2 weeks to prepare. Partially I didn't realize how much Gemara I have to do to get to this Tosfos that I really want to focus on. So we're just going to speak quicker than we usually do. Something about but my kumifungi, what's the machlokas? Marasova mechitza tzuya materas, marasova mechitza tzuya ena materas. The Tanakama holds that a hanging mechitza is no good. Rabbi Yossi holds that a hanging mechitza is good. Tanan hasam. Now we learned a Mishnah in Erevin. Okay, now here's the halacha. The halacha of Erev, that way we talk about Erev, is really a lie. When people talk about whether there's an Erev in town, they're usually talking about whether there's a string that goes around the community and encircles the community to enable carrying on Shabbos. In Yiddish, that's called an Eruv. The real halacha of Eruv, however, is that all the people in the courtyard have to be living together in order to enable carrying. Even if we're fully indoors, in order to enable me to carry on Shabbos, I need a box of matzahs that is the property of everyone that enables carrying on Shabbos. Those who live on the YU side of the Heights, is a box of matzahs in the Kolinsky apartment, 475 West 186th, apartment 2E. Those of you who live on the Mount Sinai Bennett side, there's a box of matzah in Mount Sinai that, at least there used to be when I was the rabbi, I assume it's still there, that is the property of the entire community. That means that no one should ever go hungry on Shabbos. If you are hungry and you don't have matzah, just knock on the Kolinsky's door or go into the shul and there's always going to be matzah for you, and that's really not a problem. Now, the thing about an Erev is that I'm not allowed to take stuff from an area that is not Me'urav with me. Meaning, if there are two courtyards, right, courtyard A and courtyard B, so if there's an Erev in courtyard A and there's an Erev in courtyard B, that's great. So courtyard A can carry in courtyard A. Courtyard B can carry in courtyard B, but you can't carry from A to B. That's the topic of conversation now. I'm not allowed to carry an item from courtyard A to courtyard B. Now, you have two chatzeros and you have a bor. A bor is like a cistern of water between the two chatzeros. So the problem is, if I'm going to draw water from that bar, what will happen is some of the water that I am picking up with my bucket, some of that water is coming from your side of, is coming from your chatzer, right? The water is all mixed together. There's my water and there's your water. Because if I'm going to draw water, I'm going to be drawing some water from your side of the chatzer, from your chatzer, right? There are two chatzeros. That's the case. Now, how some bar should be shtei chatzeros. If you have a cistern, a pit of water between two chatzeros, eim malin mimena b'Shabbos. You cannot fill up from that bar on Shabbos because of the concern that I'll be drawing some water from your chatzer, and I'm not allowed to carry items from your chatzer. I can only carry items that are in my chatzer. Right? That's what the Mishnah in Erevin tells me. The only way I can do it is Ela imkein asala mechitza asaret fachim bein malmala Bain Melmata, Bain Mito Bain Betoch Ogno. Okay, the words over here do not really mean what the words are translated as. Bain Momala, Bain Momata. If I have a bar, I have a cistern. So I need a mechitza between, right? My chatzar is over here, your chatzar is over there. There's a pit of water between us. I can't fill water from it because maybe I'll be getting water from your chatzar. So I need a mechitza between the two things. Now, I'm talking about a mechitza only for the water. All I care about is to be able to draw the water. We're not talking about a mechitza for the land yet. We're talking about mechitza for the water. Now, I can make this mechitza for the water, bein momal or bein momata, whether this mechitza is, it's almost like you're building a pier of some sort. Whether it's high above the water or low down close to the water, that's bein momal or bein momata, that works. Bein mitoch ogno, if I understand Rashi correctly, Rashi is saying that it only works if this mechitza is inside the ogen habar, is inside like the rim of the bar. It is not going to be kosher if it is not inside the rim. It has to be inside the rim. So that's the first halacha. I'm able to draw water if I have this mechitza. Whether it's on top or the bottom, it doesn't matter, but it does matter that it has to be mitoch ogno. Right? So that third expression, bain, doesn't mean the same as the previous two bains. Bain momala, bain momata means whether it's on top or on the bottom. Bain mitoch ogno, if I understand Rashi correctly, right? Rashi writes, right, the second wide line at the bottom, bain mitoch ogno, kloma, bain momala rachok min hamayim, ubelvad shetehe betoch ogen shabar. Right? Lomala or lamata, it has to be betoch ogen shabar. It has to be inside the rim of the pit, because then it's muchach hamilsa, then it's clear that you're making it for the water. So far, so good. Rishon Megamliya omer. Beis Shammai omrim lomala, Beis Hillel omrim lomata. Rishon Megamliya says that this is a dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says, it is enough if it is high above the water. Beis Hillel says, no, that doesn't suffice. It has to be down closer to the water. So according to Rishon Megamliya, it's a machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. We said it works whether it's high or low. Rishon Megamliya says it's a machlokes. Amar Reb Yehuda, lo tei mechitza gedola min hakotel shebeinehem. Reb Yehuda says that a mechitza on the water is not better than the wall between them. You see, if I have two chatzeros, I have two courtyards. So effectively, there's going to be a wall that separates them. Rabbi Yehuda, in this Mishnah in Erevin, says that the wall that separates the courtyards is also sufficient to separate the water from one side, from the water to the from the water on the other side. Meaning, the mechitza on the ground helps. You do not need a specific mechitza for the mayim. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Now let's just take a deep breath for a second. Let's take a deep breath. Effectively, everybody agrees that if I want to draw water from this pit, I cannot do so unless I have a mechitza there, unless I have a barrier. Now, this barrier is not a barrier that goes all the way down to the bottom of the pit, no? It's either momala, it's either high above the, I use the term pit, it's really like cistern. It's either high above or it's close to the water level, or lamata. No one says it has to go all the way down to the ground. Now, in logic, we would assume that just like the mechitza of our Mishnah has to be touching the ground or within three tefachim of the ground, so also the mechitza in the mayim, the mechitza that allows me to draw water, also should have to be within three tefachim of ground level or the like. The halacha, however, is, and the Gemara in Erevin says this, that even though Bikias Gidoyim, even though a mechitza that the animals run through is not a good mechitza, but Bikias Dagim lo shmei Bikia. That's the expression in the Gemara. That when the fish run through it, that doesn't invalidate the mechitza. If the little goat runs through, so that invalidates the mechitza. If the fish run through it, it doesn't. Now, the Rishonim explain over there that the reason for this idea is because people don't see that the fish are swimming through and through. By the way, are there fish in the cistern? There shouldn't.
I hope not.
There should not be. You hope there's no fish in the cistern. So I wrote a paper when I was in Bernard Revel about the Vilna Gaon's approach to science. There's one Vilna Gaon in Hilchos Mikvaos. You know that in a mikvah, there's a difference between a mikvah and a mayan, between stagnant water and flowing water. But sometimes it's hard to define the difference. So the Vilna Gaon writes, he quotes that some people say the difference is that a mikvah, the stagnant water, won't have fish in it, but a mayan will have fish in it. Then he writes, he quotes this opinion, writes, Chipasti b'chol sifrei hateva v'lo matzasi davar zeh. That's like the only reference I'm aware of. It's the Vilna Gaon, the beginning of Siman Reish Aleph. So I've gotten, hey, I read a whole paper on this because I thought it was cool. The Vilna Gaon says, I looked in kol sifrei hateva. That's like a really strong expression, no? I looked in all the science books. Again, which ones he looked at, I have no idea. But, okay. But basically, I don't know if Chazal are assuming somehow, or that there could be fish, or let's say it's a mayon, it's not a mikvah. Let's say it's somehow flowing water. So the fish are there. The fish, even though they'll swim from one part to the other part, but bekiyas dagim lo shmei bekiyah, the fact that the fish swim through it does not invalidate the mechitza. And the Rishonim explain because people don't notice when the fish swims through. You notice when the gedi runs through. You don't notice when the fish swim through. Now, whether or not it's noticeable shouldn't matter. But this, again, is a further raya to the yesod that we mentioned before, that min ha-Torah, mechitza tluya helps. On the level of Dairaisa, hanging mechitza works. On the level of Darabonan, it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Because people don't look at it like it's a mechitza, because animals run through it. Therefore, if the animal that runs through is a fish, right? So people don't notice that the fish is running through. So that does not invalidate the mechitza. This whole svara about whether it's noticeable or it's not noticeable, that whole svara only makes sense. What about copepods or whatever is called in water? Okay, so you are assuming that copepods are recognizable in water, which they are, but they're recognizable only if you look very closely. I think if you're standing on top of the bar, but yeah, there are copepods in the water, especially if you live in New York City. Okay. They say that by 2024 or something, it won't be an issue anymore because there's going to, okay, that's a whole other conversation. I'm going to not get off of topic tonight. So basically, Rabbi Yehuda the Tana in that Mishnah in Erevin, Rabbi Yehuda says that you do not need a specific mechitza for the mayim. According to the Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, or the Tana Kama in the Mishnah, 1 second, Zoe, you need a mechitza only for the mayim. But the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says that no, a mechitza that goes across the chatzer, even if it's not intended specifically for the mayim, that mechitza is good. Yes, Zoe, how are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you, Rabbi Schwartz?
Baruch Hashem.
Great. So is Rabbi Yehuda envisioning that the wall extends also to go over the water, or the wall like stops at the cistern?
So I think the wall extends over the water, but it's the same wall going across.
Okay.
It's not betocha ogen. It's not that the wall is inside the rim of it.
Yeah.
It's the regular wall between the chatzeros.
Yeah.
And Rabbi Yehuda says that's good enough.
Okay.
You do not need a specific mechitza for the mayim. The Gemara continues, Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yehuda b'shitas Rabbi Yosi Amra, the Amar Mechitza Tzluya Materes. Right? Rabbi Yehuda says a hanging mechitza works. Meaning, this mechitza is made, it's not a mechitza that's made specifically for the Mayim. If the mechitza is made specifically for the Mayim, that's a special kula. The Gemara has the expression, kal hu shehikilu chachamim b'mayim. That's a special kula on the water. That mechitza made for the water works. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's a land mechitza and it still works. Why? Obviously, zakh the Gemara, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that mechitza tzuya helps, which would be the same as the shita of Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, that mechitza tzuya helps. So that's what Rabbi Baruch Hanna says, that Rabbi Yehuda, b'shitas Rabbi Yossi Amara, that mechitza tzuya helps. Zakh the Gemara v'lohi, he's wrong. Lo Rabbi Yehuda savala Rabbi Yossi, lo Rabbi Yossi savala Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah of Sukkah is not like Rabbi Yehuda in the case of the Mishnah in Erevin and the Mechitza to allow one to draw water on Shabbos. And Rabbi Yehuda in that Mishnah in Erevin is not like Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah of Sukkah. The two shitos are not necessarily connected. And the Gemara explains. Lo Rabbi Yehuda savla k'Rabbi Yossi, ad kan lo kamer Rabbi Yossi hasam, ela be'eruvei chatziros d'rabbanan. Ava hocha, suka d'oraisa lo. This approach I completely understand. Our mission in Sukkah, I need a mechitza on the level of d'oraisa. Right? The halacha of mechitza by Sukkah is a din d'oraisa. So I could say that by Sukkah, mechitza tzluya doesn't help. But by that case of Erevin, the whole issue is a din d'rabbanan. By the whole concern of Eruvei Chatzeres, remember, it's not a rishus harabim, it's not a public area. You don't have 600,000 people like running over here every day. It's a min ha-toyra. There's no isra of carrying. It's only an isra d'rabbanan. Since the requirement for Eruvei Chatzeres is a din d'rabbanan, the requirement for the mechitza is only a din d'rabbanan, that's why they're lenient on mechitza tzuya. But perhaps Reb Yehuda would not hold that mechitza tzuya helps in our Mishnah by Sukkah, because since by Sukkah, the requirement of mechitza is a din d'oraisa. Then the Gemara says it the opposite way. V'lo Reb Yossi savar lak Reb Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi does not hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Right? Rabbi Yossi in our mission of Sukkah, it could be he holds that Mechitza Tzuya helps by Sukkah, but it would not help by the Erev case. Ad kan lo kamer Rabbi Yossi hocha ela b'sukkah de mitzvah saseh. Rabbi Yossi only says it by Sukkah where it's just a mitzvah. Av Shabbos de iser skila lo. But by Shabbos, it's an iser skila. Now, this does not mean what it sounds like. The simple meaning of the Gemara is that, oh yeah, you could be put to death. You're going to be chayiv skila, you're going to be stoned if you carry on Shabbos. That's not true. You're not going to be stoned. Right? This whole din is din d'rabbanan. You're not going to be stoned for it. What it means is that since on the fundamental level, the dinim of Shabbos are dinim d'oraisa, which carry with it an iser skila, so therefore, I might be more machmir even on the dinim de rabbanon of Shabbos than I am on the dinim de oraisa of Sukkah. Right? It's a really hard idea to swallow. Since at the baseline level, Shabbos is an iser skila, so that tells me I'm going to be more machmir. I'm going to say that mechitza tzuya does not help by Shabbos, even by the Dirabbanans of Shabbos, but it does help by Sukkah, because Sukkah is a mitzvah asay. Okay, that's the way the Gemara phrases it, which means, l'cha'ora, that what's the big deal? Let's say you're not yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah. Big deal. You didn't get a mitzvah. Okay, feel bad. Right? It's not like you really did something wrong. The simple reading of our Gemara, by the way, is that you're not really doing anything wrong. You're just not getting it right. Right? You're not fulfilling the mitzvah, but it's not like you're doing an aveira. That itself requires analysis, but that would be a separate shear. Do I assume that sukkah is fundamentally, if I don't sit in the sukkah, am I doing an aveira? Or if I don't sit in the sukkah, am I just not getting a mitzvah? Oh. Now, basically what the Gemara is saying is like this. I have two sources in Judaism that Mechitza Tluya helps. One source is that it helps by sukkah, right? That's Rabbi Yossi. The other source is Rabbi Yehuda, that it helps by Eruv. The Gemara says that these two ideas are not necessarily connected. It could be that it helps by Eruv, because that's a din d'rabbanan, but doesn't help by sukkah, which is a din d'oraisa. Conversely, it could be that it helps by sukkah because it's a mitzvah, but it doesn't help by Eruv, which is an iser that has its origin in dinim of skila. Effectively, in the second lashon of the Gemara, the contrast, it's not clear. There's almost like two points of distinction, mitzvah versus aveira, and skila versus not skila. Right? And the Gemara is conflating these two terms. Okay, what can we do? V'im tomar. Okay, should we go on in the Gemara? Any questions until this point? V'im tomar, the Gemara asks. It's around halfway through the page. V'im tomar, ma'asa shenasa b'tzipori alpi mi na'asa. The story that happened in Tzipori, who is it according to? Meaning, Tzipori is apparently is the community of Rabbi Yossi. This is the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Tzipori is Rabbi Yossi's community. So the assumption is that anything that happened in Tzipori is according to Rabbi Yossi. But it can't be according to Rabbi Yossi, the way we just explained. So therefore, right, it has to be according to Rabbi Yishmael of Rabbi Yossi, right? That's what the Gemara says. Lo api Rabbi Yossi, ela api Rabbi Yishmael of Rabbi Yossi. Right? There's a story in Tzipori. I would have thought it goes according to Rabbi Yossi because Rabbi Yossi is the grand rabbi of Tzipori. That's like what it says on his stationery at the top, Grand Rabbiner of Tzipori. But this story can't be according to Rabbi Yossi. So therefore, we have to say it's according to Rabbi Shmuel of Rabbi Yossi. My Ma'isa, what's the story? Dechi osa Rav Dini Amar. Pam achas shachachu v'lo heviu sefer Torah me'erev Shabbos. Rav Dini came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and he told a story that once happened in Tzipori. Once upon a time, they forgot to bring the sefer Torah from Erev Shabbos. Meaning, Rashi comments, they would not keep the Sefer Torah in shul all week because there is a concern, I guess, that people will steal the Sefer Torah if it's in the shul. So what they would do is they'd keep the Sefer Torah in private homes. And they would bring the Sefer Torah to shul before Shabbos. But it's not like such a far-fetched notion. They'd bring the Sefer Torah to shul before Shabbos. Once upon a time, they forgot to do it. And the problem was they can't carry the Torah on Shabbos, either because there is a lack of Eruvei Chatzeros in the area, or there's a lack of Shitufei Mevuos in the area, right? Eruvei Chatzeros means the homes that share a courtyard. Shitufei Mevuos means the courtyards that share like an alley. But there are two opinions in Rashi what exactly the issue is. But they couldn't carry the Sefer Torah. So what are they going to do? So l'machar, the next day, what they did is pirsu sadinin al gabi ha'amudim v'heviu Sefer Torah. The next day, they spread sheets. They spread cloth on top of some pillars, and they brought the Sefer Torah, Vakar Ubo, then they leaned. That's the whole story. Now the Gemara analyzes, Pir Susakadaitach, Mehechan Heviyum. You can't carry. They can't bring the Sefer Torah. That's the problem. So what they did is they take sheet. They take sheets and they hang the sheets up. Dude, right? If you can't take the Sefer Torah, you can't carry the sheet either. Right? That's the Gemara's question. Pirsu. Mehechan Heviyum. Where did they bring it from? Ella. Matu Sadinim. Perusim al gabe ha'amudim. Mehevio Sefer Torah. Nukar Ubo. But what they did is they found the sheets were hanging up, and they decided that this is going to be enough to carry the Sefer Torah. Now, apparently, the sheets that they found hanging up, there's like a whole missing part of the story that the Gemara is assuming, but the Gemara doesn't tell us. The sheets that they found hanging up are hanging up in a way that they are not touching the ground. So it's a mechitza tluya. It's above three tefachim from the ground. How did they do this? How did they carry with this mechitza tluya? How did they use it to carry the Sefer Torah? Even Rabbi Yossi only permits it by sukkah. Rabbi Yossi would not permit the use of a mechitza tluya on Shabbos. But this episode in Sipori was on Shabbos. They need to lay in Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos. So how did they use this mechitza tluya? It shouldn't help according to Rabbi Yossi. And Sipori is Rabbi Yossi's hometown. So the Gemara answers, well, it's according to Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, not according to Rabbi Yossi. Right? In other words, Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yossi, takes his father's shita that mechitza tluya helps, and he expands on it. He says it even helps on Shabbos. Although Rabbi Yossi said that mechitza tluya helps, and it's possible that it only helps on sukkah, not for Shabbos, but the Tana Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi says it will help even on Shabbos. That's the Gemara. Like, there's mamish, like, so much missing in this story. No? It's like Ikar Chasar and HaSefer almost. Like, the story is basically that it's a Mechitza Tluya, but that one line isn't there. It's really shocking almost. But the assumption is that you'll fill it in.
We were bothered when it came up in Erevin, so I'm very excited to talk about it more in Daf Yomi.
Oh, you were bothered by this exact question that, like, it doesn't.
Well, in general, we were like, what is this story? Yeah.
So that's the story. That's the famous story of the Maisa in Sipori. Okay. Fine. Let's talk about this Tosis, because this is like the interesting stuff. What exactly is the problem with bringing the sheet on Shabbos? The Gemara is like in disbelief. Pirsu! How did they like take the sheet and bring it? What exactly is the problem? So Rashi learns, but if you look at the Rashi, Mehechan Hevi'um, the Rashi is like four lines before the lines get wide at the bottom. Zot Rashi, Mehechan Hevi'um, how did they bring it? Bahalohaya asur lahachnis lahotzi. Rashi writes that they can't carry the sheet on Shabbos because you're not allowed to. Right, if you can't carry a Sefer Torah, you can't carry a sheet. That's Rashi. Bahaloha komodim, etc. Lo gar simon. Rashi says that this haloha komodim, we do not have that text. Because the mechitza b'lo gag lav ohel ho. A mechitza without a roof is not an ohel. Meaning, Rashi is sensitive to the fact that there's another text going around that says that there's a problem of making an ohel on Shabbos. There's another text going around that's asking the question, how did they spread the sheets on the Amudin, how did they spread the sheets on the pillars on Shabbos? That's building a mechitza on Shabbos. You're building a structure that will enable you to carry on Shabbos. And it's also to build a mechitza on Shabbos because there's an iser of making an ohel on Shabbos. So Rashi says, oh no, that's not our text. We don't have that text. Because there can't be an iser of making an ohel on Shabbos, after Rashi, since this is not an ohel. An ohel means a tent. A tent means you have a roof. Over here, they're just taking the tarp, the sheets, and they're putting it on the amud and putting it on the poles. So there's no roof. Since there's no roof, Rashi says, it cannot be the iser of making an ohel on Shabbos. This is a fundamental yisod that Rashi has, that there is no iser of making an ohel on Shabbos unless you have a roof. If it's just walls, there is no iser at all to make it on Shabbos, according to Rashi. So far, so good. Ms. Farber, how are you?
Rabbi Schwartz, but did we say that they are already there? So they're not making it?
Well, the maskana of the Gemara is that they found them already. But the Gemara has a question. How did they do it? So the Gemara
is already hanging.
So apparently they found these things. This is also an amazing part of the Gemara. They always had these tarps or sheets that are hanging up. Just no one noticed all the years. Then this one Shabbos, and they have to bring the Sefer Torah. They're like, oh, wow, Eureka, look at that. We have these tarps hanging.
But then they didn't do it on Shabbos. They were already there.
That's the answer of the Gemara. The Gemara's Hava Amina is, how could they build it on Shabbos? Or how could they either, the way Rashi learns it, how could they carry the tarp on Shabbos? And the way Tosfos is going to learn, like this other Girsa, how did they hang the sheet on Shabbos? It's an Isser of making a tent. So the Gemara's answer is, no, they didn't do it on Shabbos. It was pre-existing from before Shabbos.
So I'm sorry that I'm just clarifying, but so we're saying we're taking this Hava Amina very seriously because now we're saying they actually hung it on Shabbos and it's not really making an ohel because there's no gog.
No. Rashi is saying even as a Hava Amina, you cannot have the text that it's forbidden to hang the sheets because it's an ohel, right? You can't even entertain that idea, says Rashi. Because there is no iser of making an ohel by just hanging a sheet. The Gemara at one point had a question. How did they do that? Now, there are two ways of understanding that Gemara's question of how did they do that. One way is, how did they carry the sheet? Because there is no eruv. The other text in the Gemara's question is, how did they hang the sheet? Isn't there a prohibition of building a mechitza? Rashi says, you can't ask that question. How did they hang the sheet? There's a prohibition on the mechitza. There's no prohibition to build the mechitza, Zak Rashi. It doesn't exist.
Okay, thank you.
That's the Gemara, right? So Rashi has this text in the Gemara, and Rashi says there is no iser at all. And Rashi writes, actually, it might be better to just read the Rashi, because Tosis is even more long-winded. Let's just see the Rashi. Mehechan hevi'um, right? It's like four lines before lines get wide. V'haloha ya'asur la'hachnis la'hotzi. It's forbidden to carry. That's what Rashi learns in Gemara's question. V'haloha komodim lo garsinan. We do not have the text in the Gemara that, doesn't everybody agree, which was a text that would say, doesn't everybody agree that they can't build a mechitza on Shabbos? Rashi says, we do not have that text. De mechitza below gag, lav ohel ho. Because there's no iser to build a mechitza without a wall, without a roof, excuse me. Mechitza below gag cannot be an ohel. U mechitza kazu is mutar la asot. You're allowed to make a mechitza without a roof. Kidamrinam per kol gagol, so the Gemara says in Erevin, armelahu shmuel negidu li glima. The Gemara in Erevin has a story that Shmuel says, hang up a beged for me. Okay. That Gemara in Erevin, which Tosis also invokes, Erevin Sadi Daled, is really the major location of this conversation. It goes like this. There is a halacha that we need an Erev on Shabbos. If you want to carry, you need an Erev. So far, so good? That means the area has to be enclosed, and you need the box of matzah. There's also a halacha of Shabbos Hov Hutra Hutra, that once Shabbos began, and you're allowed to carry at the beginning of Shabbos, we'll have to explain what this means very carefully. But once I'm allowed to carry at the beginning of Shabbos, I'm allowed to carry the rest of Shabbos. Shabbos Chayav Hutra Hutra. In the Gemara, all this means is that if I have a box of matzah at the beginning of Shabbos, if you're hungry, you go, you eat the matzah, and you still can carry the rest of the Shabbos. Shabbos Chayav Hutra Hutra. Now, it probably does not mean that if your Erev falls down on Shabbos, if the string breaks, that you're allowed to carry the rest of the Shabbos. It probably does not mean that. If you want, I wrote an article in the RJJ Journal about this a number of years ago, about why that approach is not correct, the approach that if the string falls on Shabbos, that you're still allowed to carry. Now, Rav and Shmuel have the machlokas as follows. If there are two chatzeros, right, just like we had a case earlier, there are two courtyards. Each courtyard can carry in its own area. There's a wall between the two courtyards. So courtyard A can carry in courtyard A, courtyard B can carry in courtyard B, and everything is grand. Well, let's say that wall between the two chatzeros falls down. Now I have a problem, because the people from Chatzer A could create an Isser on the people in Chatzer B to carry. Because I'm not allowed to carry in my area if there's anyone who can access the area who is, what's it called? If there's anyone who's not part of the Eruv in my area, I can't carry. If there's one house in my community that did not chip in the Eruv, I'm not allowed to carry. So long as there's a wall between the two chatzeros, my area is a self-contained bubble, so I'm allowed to carry. The people in the other chatzer don't influence me. But the wall falls down at the beginning of Shabbos. Or the wall falls down, excuse me, after Shabbos began. The question is, am I allowed to carry on Shabbos? The area where I am is fully enclosed in the chitzos, but I have people in my area now who used to be in the other chatzer. At the beginning of Shabbos, they were in courtyard B. Well, now courtyard A and courtyard B are all mixed together because the wall between them fell down. Am I allowed to carry or not? Do I apply the principle that just like if you eat the box of matzah, you can carry the rest of Shabbos? Do I say, oh, this is like the box of matzah was consumed, so I could still carry? Or do I say, no, maybe this is like the string of the Erev fell down when I can't carry? Right? On the one hand, right? So it's not clear. What's the halacha? So Rav and Shmuel have a machlokas. Rav says, you're not allowed to carry. Shmuel says, Zemetata ad ikar mechitza, Zemetata ad ikar mechitza. Shmuel says, I'm allowed to carry on Shabbos to the same areas where I could carry beforehand. Even after the fence fell down, I could carry wherever I was allowed to carry beforehand. That's Shmuel's opinion. So the wall falls down between the chatzeros. Rav says, can't carry anymore. Once the mechitza fell, no heter to carry. Shmuel says, no. We view this not like the mechitza fell, because ultimately you're still enclosed in a area with mechitzos. So Shmuel says, you're allowed to carry to the areas where you could carry previously. Well, once upon a time, Rav and Shmuel are sitting in a chatzer, and the wall falls down between that chatzer and another chatzer. It fell down. So Shmuel says, take a garment, shkolu glima, negiduba. Take a garment and hang it up. So the Gemara says that Rav got really angry at Shmuel. Rav said, how are you doing that? Okay? I grin the Rav Mape. Rav turns around with anger. That's what the Gemara says. So Shmuel says, hey, Rav, if you're so upset, you know, like, just take your bekisha and go over there and use it to hang it up. Okay, fine. That's the detailed story in the Gemara. The Gemara asks, according to Shmuel, how come they have to hang up the mechitza? Doesn't Shmuel hold you could carry anyway? So the Gemara answers, well, Shmuel says they should do it for tznius. Right? Just it's not tznius in terms of this chatzer looking into that chatzer. The assumption is it wasn't tznius. That's the Gemara. Now, in that Gemara, you get the impression that there is going to be, well, how do I read that Gemara? Shmuel says, I'm allowed to hang up that mechitza. You get the impression that the Gemara asks, how come Shmuel has to hang up a mechitza? I, Shmuel, you can carry anyway. You get an impression, says Rashi, that were you not to be able to carry, we'd understand why you could hang up the mechitza. And this, says Rashi, is a proof to my idea that you're allowed to build a mechitza on Shabbos, even though that mechitza permits you to do stuff you couldn't do previously. I'm worried that I am losing people, or I lost people. Let's take
a
step.
Repeat that last line where you started?
So the last line goes like this. Remember, Rashi holds that you're allowed to build a mechitza that permits you to do something which you could previously not do. There's no prohibition of building on Shabbos when you are building a mechitza hamateres. That's the shita of Rashi. Rashi proves this from a story in Erevin. The Gemara in Erevin says that once upon a time, the wall between two chatzers fell down, and Shmuel said, take a curtain and close up the wall between the two chatzers. That's what Shmuel said. The Gemara asks, how come Shmuel had to do that? Doesn't Shmuel hold that you're allowed to carry anyway? And the Gemara says, oh, Shmuel did it for tznius purposes, not for halachic purposes. You get the impression from this Gemara that were Shmuel to hold that you're not allowed to carry, so it would be very understandable how come I'm allowed to hang this mechitza on Shabbos. Or it's very understandable how come he would say you should hang the mechitza. The reason I should hang the mechitza is because the mechitza helps me carry. That means that to build a mechitza on Shabbos to help you carry is permitted. That's the way Rashi learns that Gemara in Erevin, which is in light of Rashi's text in our Gemara. Rashi says, do not have the text in the Gemara, you're not allowed to build a mechitza on Shabbos, because you are allowed to build a mechitza on Shabbos. It's perfectly permitted to build a mechitza on Shabbos, even if that mechitza permits you to do activities that you could not do previously.
Doesn't that sound like misakin? Like you, it's not fitting, and then you've kind of changed the property.
So, you know, misakin in the sense of the malach of makib patish. I don't know if makib patish applies. Again, many assume that makib patish does not apply if it's just like halachic change. I couldn't carry. Now I can carry. But there's a problem. Maybe I'm building a mechitza. Right? Maybe I'm in violation of the malacha of bul now on Shabbos because I'm building something which gives me license to do something I couldn't do beforehand. Rashi says there is zero problem in building a mechitza materes on Shabbos. I'm allowed to build something on Shabbos even though it enables me to do something I couldn't do beforehand. It's perfectly okay to build it, Zok Rashi. The only iser to make an ohel, according to Rashi, is when you have a roof. No roof, it's okay. Tosfos, however, assumes that you're not allowed to build a mechitza materes on Shabbos. Tosfos reads the Gemara exactly the opposite way. Tosfos understands that Gemara in Erevin, that the Gemara says, Shmuel, right? How come you're doing this? Of course it's usher to build a mechitza if you hold you're not allowed to carry without it. But even according to you, Shmuel, that you can carry without it, still you shouldn't build the mechitza. It's still wrong. So Gemara says, no, it's only for tznius. A mechitza that is there just for purposes of tznius, you're allowed to build on Shabbos. Now, let's go slowly. Basically, what we have over here is a machlokas halacha l'maisa between Rashi and Tosfos. Can I build a mechitza materes on Shabbos? Can I build a mechitza on Shabbos that enables me to do something I couldn't do previously? The common case that comes up is, let's say there are sparim in the room and you want to have tashmish hamita or you want to diaper a baby. Can you build a mechitza between the sparim and the baby? Are you allowed to build a mechitza on Shabbos? So Tosfos says you can't. There's an iser to build a mechitza on Shabbos. It's a mechitza materes. It's an iser to build that mechitza on Shabbos. Rashi says there is no prohibition at all of building a mechitza that is matir. Shulchan Aruch, paskins like Tosfos, not like Rashi. That means that you are not allowed to build a mechitza materes on Shabbos, lahalacha. In our Chayin Tzimin Shin Tesvav, Sif Aleph, we paskin like Tosfos, I cannot build a mechitza materes. So if there's an activity that you could not do without this mechitza, now you want to do it, you're not allowed to put up a mechitza. For example, let's say you find chametz on Shabbos or Yontif. So the Gemara says you could build a mechitza of 10 tefachim, but you can't do that on Shabbos and Yontif. Kofen ala hakeli, if I find chametz, I cover it with a keli, because covering it with a keli is not really a mechitza, right? It's just covering it. That's okay, but I can't build a full-fledged mechitza on Shabbos. I'm not allowed to build a mechitza on Shabbos to enable me to carry. There's an iser, according to Tosfos, and we pass in like Tosfos, there is an iser to build a mechitza on Shabbos. But if the mechitza is only for purposes of tznius, then it is permitted. Meaning, the Rishonim say, if the mechitza is for purposes of the rabbi wants to give a drasha, and the rabbi doesn't want the men sitting next to the women, this is the example in the Mordechai, so you're allowed to build a mechitza between the men and the women for the rabbi to give a drasha. Question, what about the mechitza in shul? In many shuls, they have like portable mechitzas, no?
I'm very concerned about this question, Rabbi Schwartz.
Oh. Yeah, I've been guilty of doing this for like 2 years.
So people do this all the time, right? Like
room dividers. Also, our mechitza hangs, so like, yeah.
Right, so that's an interesting thing, right? So if the mechitza hangs, so a couple of months ago, I gave a hesped for Rav Yehuda Herzl Henkin. So Rav Henkin is a super machmir on this. Rav Henkin holds that the mechitza between men and women in shul has to be a halachic mechitza. So if you have a curtain that is just hanging and like animals could just run through it, it's possible as a mechitza. That's what Rav Henkin suggests in his... Again, you have to figure out the nature of the mechitza in shul between the men and the women. Is it just so that the men don't see the women? and distract them, or is it more of a formal dinan mechitza, etc.? But I think in all that it's no good. So can you build a mechitza in shul on Shabbos? Many shuls have like these movable mechitzas. Even if the mechitza was built beforehand and I just move it from one part of the room to the other part of the room, if I'm moving it in order to enable me to do an activity that I couldn't do beforehand, it should be a problem. Rav Soloveitchik is quoted by Rav Schechter in the Sefer Nefesh HaRav. The Rav said that he thinks that the mechitza between the men and women in shul is the same as the mechitza between the men and women when the rabbi gives a drasha. It's not a mechitza materes, because the argument goes exactly the opposite of what Rav Yehuda Herzl Henkin said. Since you don't need a mechitza to separate between the men and the women, since just a piece of fabric that's hanging there and doesn't have halachic status of mechitza, even if it's not touching the ground, no? It's above three tefachim from the ground. Since that would suffice to separate between the men and women in shul, so therefore you don't need a mechitza. So consequently, since I don't need a mechitza, what I'm doing is not a mechitza materis. The halacha mechitza materis is when I need a mechitza to permit an activity. If I could permit that activity without a mechitza, it's not a mechitza materis. That's the basic argument that they have. Rav Soloveitchik felt that the mechitza in shul is the same as the mechitza when the chacham speaks. And in the Dirshu Mishnah Brewer, they say it the way I just said it beforehand, that it doesn't have to have the dinim of mechitza, which is against the way Rav Yehuda Herzl Henkin said it. So this is a really interesting tosis about Machlokes Rashi and Tosis, whether there's an isser of making a mechitza materes on Shabbos or not. In Yirtzeh Hashem, maybe next week I have a little bit more to say about this, but let's just, any questions or comments?
Yeah, I just, thank you, Rav Schwartz. I actually attended a different shul than usual this past Shabbat here in Be'er Sheva, and they had a hanging mechitza exactly like you described that doesn't touch the floor, and I was like, this is a great shul. I've never seen a mechitza like this before, so now I know.
Okay. I mean, again, I think 99% of everything says that that's perfectly fine as a mechitza. The funny thing is, like in the Heights, I used to joke around that people say that Mount Sinai like wasn't a kosher shul, you know, but Dombrov, the shtiebel across, that was like kosher. So Dombrov, according to Yehuda Herzl Henkin, you're not allowed to daven there because the mechitza is just a curtain that flops between the men and the women. That's not kosher. But a kosher. The funny thing is, by the way, if you take the halachos of mechitza seriously between men and women, that would mean that all you need is 10 tefachim between men and women. 10 tefachim ends up being like 2.5 feet. That's probably lower than any shul mechitza you've ever seen.
No, sir. we are davening outside in a Chabad yard that is separated with shrubs, and it also had this very small fence up, and I mean, I don't even think it's 10 fachim. Until last week we got there and someone had taken the fence away, and so I wasn't there when this happened, but the men decided that no women could sit ahead of where that was, of where there was shrub. So all the women got shoved to the back of the yard on and I was thinking we needed this year because I needed to be able to come in and say, gentlemen.
So let me say the other thing, though. Many poskim assume that the halacha of mechitza it's not a halacha in tefillah. There's no isser for men and women to daven together. There's a din in tzuras beis knesses. Right? The Gemara at the end of Sukkah learns mechitza based on Hakobik Savelai, that in the days of the Hesped of Mashiach ben Yosef in the Beis HaMikdash, they had a mechitza. Like, it's a din in the Beis HaMikdash, Beis Knesses. It's not a din in davening. So if men and women, like if you're at a wedding or something, so you don't need a mechitza. Right? The women and the men, you can daven. It's probably not proper for the men and women to daven all together in the same area. Like the men move over to the side, like something like that. That's fine. But if you're davening outside, I don't think it has the halacha based knesses. I don't think you need a mechitza at all.
Yeah. I'll be sure to inform my colleague about that so that all the women don't get this. It was very ridiculous. So, but someone had made a decision.
Someone told me, one of my friends went to Ramaz High School, and he became like very Haredi in like 11th grade. And he was upset that when they would daven mincha in class, they would just have the girls go to one side and the guys on the other side, they would daven. So he went to Rabbi Lichtstein to protest. And he's like, we need a mechitza. How can we not have a mechitza? And Rabbi Lichtstein is like, no, mechitza is only halacha in the show. And he showed him. And like, so I remember the story from like 30 years ago. But yeah, that's the story. Mechitza and shul is a really interesting topic. But the question that we were talking about is very relevant. If it's like a formal halacha and mechitza, so it could be very low. If you hold that it's not a formal halacha and mechitza, if it's a din just in tznius, so then even a curtain should help. The Hungarians were always machmir to have both, right? So in Hungarian shuls, they'd have the women in the balcony and they would also have a curtain. So, right? That way. Or they would just have like the hole in the floor. Any of you ever done the Hasidic Rebbe's and they just have like a hole in the floor? You've been there, right? It's a cultural experience. Less for me than for you, I'll say it like that. Okay, any other comments? Yeah, Tanya?
Is there any problem with opening, you know, those room dividers where you unfold them? Is there any problem with unfolding those on Shabbos?
So, again, if I'm unfolding it for a non-halachic purpose, l'chora there's no iser because it's just meant to be put together, and anything that's on hinges, there's no iser of bona.
But if you're doing it for the svarim, like...
If I'm doing it for the svarim, like to diaper a baby...
To go so to
that
sleep.
Would be mechitza.
It's like a chumrah. Let's say you're just doing it to go to sleep. Not anything. Chumrah,
then it's not a mechitza materes. If I'm doing it for a real halachic purpose, then it's a mechitza materes. Like, chumrahs are not really halachic purposes.
Right? I'm going to quote you on that. Chumrahs are not halachic. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, the drasha I like to say is one of the scholars in Bar Ilan University, Moshe Arendt, has a book called Hachinuch HaDati VaNetiyah LaHachmir, where he basically argues that chumras are there to allow people to feel like individuals. I want to feel different. No one likes being the same as everybody else. Of course, this undermines, once a chumra becomes widespread, then you need, that's why there's a constant one-upmanship, right? Because the need for being an individual might be one of the motivating factors in the chumra. That's his argument. I like it.
Plus, it's go to do, though. Like, you're making...
Okay. Again, the harder question is, like, how do I define what a chumra is? Like, because one woman's chumra is another woman's yehareg val yavar, right? That's always an issue that you have to focus on. But, yeah. Any other questions or comments?
Okay, Chavra, I'm excited for davening this week. I'll get there early and make sure the women's chairs go all the way to the front.
Okay. So, Mirza Shem, next week, I'd like to start at 7:30 again. Also, basically, I have like a din Torah that's been schlepping on, like, and they like to do, the lawyers like doing it on Thursdays. So they try to be done at like 6:30. But for me, if I'd start here at 7:30, I just need a little... breathing space. So the extra 15 minutes just helps me. Sima, you'll forgive me. I just feel like... Okay. Have a good night. A good Shabbos. All the best.
Thanks, Rabbi Schwartz.
Good night.